The scripture lesson from John's Gospel, which you just heard, comes pretty close after John's telling of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, which we will get to next week. But the lection for today includes this story. Just before this story, there are a few other words that I want you to hear. So the crowd that had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to greet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." The world has gone after him. And right after that, we have the story of the Greeks who have come. They're probably Greeks who were in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They were Gentiles, so what are they doing celebrating the Passover? Well, there were a lot of Gentiles who looked to the Jewish faith for the wonderful things that it offers. And they oftentimes traveled from great distances to be in Jerusalem to celebrate the high holidays. So here we have one of those instances. Some Greeks are in Jerusalem to celebrate the high holy days, the Passover in this case. And they come to Philip, who is one of Jesus' disciples, and Philip is a Greek name, interestingly enough. They went to the person that maybe they felt they could most identify with. And they said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." The word "to see" here isn't just we want to kind of notice him from a distance. They'd probably been doing that already. But it really was a desire to meet, to get close to be in conversation with, to get to know more about Jesus. It wasn't just a, "Hey, hi there," from a distance. It was a, "We want to get up close and personal, to know more about this man who raised someone from the dead, whose preaching and teaching we hear other people talking about. And we are so glad to be in Jerusalem right now when he's here too. Because we want to see Jesus." It was an opportunity that they had right there before them to meet Jesus. I think a lot of us take this business of meeting Jesus for granted. "Oh, well, we'll meet him next week." You know, next month. You know, I'm pretty happy with life the way it is right now. Maybe next year. You know, do you have friends in your life like that? "Oh, I don't want to go to that church just yet because I'm just, you know, there's the New York Times to read on Sunday morning." In fact, I get it off this year. The one most difficult day for me to do church is the men's final at Wimbledon. I don't know why. You know, it seems as though other sports events manage to stay away from Sunday morning, but, you know, because that's in England and we have this time delay, you know, I don't get to see it. Someday I'm going to show up there. Get to watch it live. We'll see. You know, maybe someday. Maybe. This story in John's Gospel really points to the coming mission of the church, the coming mission of Christians. You see, early on, the mission was only to Jews. In fact, if you look at the book of Acts, there's a major controversy in the church about whether or not everyone who becomes a Christian should become Jewish first. Men can uncross your legs now. But that was the expectation. Now, women had it a little easier. Didn't have to go through all that. But this particular meeting of these Greeks who want to see Jesus is a precursor of the Gentile mission of the church, which is to come not too much further along in history. And God bless, most of us would not be here today if it hadn't been for that Gentile mission. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Because that took the message of Jesus out beyond the confines of just the Jewish world and took it into the whole world. And that has impacted us as well. See, what those Greeks were looking for was a new way of seeing the world. They may not have recognized that, but a new way of looking at things. One commentator in this passage has written this: more than anything else, faith in Jesus Christ entails changing the way we see. To have our vision cleared up, our imagination opened, and our sight enlarged. See, I don't believe living as a Christian means living a small life. I think it means living a huge, great big life. Great big life with very few limitations. It changes the way we see the world. It is our ability to see that releases power in our own life. Spirituality is, more than anything else, the art of seeing. First, seeing things as they are, and second, seeing things as they can be. You know? And isn't that what, you know, all of the great faiths should be about, and all of the great rights movements should be about? Seeing things as they are, but also having an expectation for how things can be. Because when our sight is truncated, when we can see really only hardly beyond our proverbial nose, when we spend all of our time navel-gazing at our own lives, we fail to see what's happening in the world around us. And when we fail to see what's happening in the world around us, we cannot see what new possibilities might be. We fail to see the injustice. We fail to see where people are hurting. And we fail to get to the second part: in what way can I make a difference? I just sort of threw that in. Sometimes we just have to get knocked upside the head, you know, to see things different. One commentator tells this story about people in history. As a young man, the French Enlightenment philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau was knocked unconscious by a dog. When he came to, the story goes, Rousseau found himself free of all worldly concerns. He was able to see the big picture. Later on, he observed that he never truly came to his senses until he'd been knocked senseless. Harriet Tubman's name is famous in American history. Once a slave on the eastern shore of Maryland, she escaped to the north, because the Maryland was in the south, if we remember. She escaped to the north, but returned again and again and again to lead other slaves to freedom. Harriet's life as a liberator began one day in her teenage years, when she stepped between her master and another slave he was savagely beating. Harriet was struck on the head and fell to the ground, her skull fractured. For weeks she lay comatose, but finally recovered. For the rest of her life, she would suffer epileptic fits because of that injury. Yet that injury also helped Harriet Tubman's liberation. The blow that cracked Tubman's skull, her biographer wrote, struck off her psychic chains. She'd already died once. She had nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. See, I think for us, we don't often get that sense that we have nothing to lose. We think we have everything to lose. And Jesus has a word for that, too. If you love your life too much in this life, you will lose it in the next. But if you hate, I hate that word, but if you hate your life, and I think he was saying as it presently exists, without God's love, if you would hate your life, you will gain it for all eternity. So how do we see Jesus? Some see him as a wonderful teacher. There's certainly nothing wrong with that, because that he was, a wonderful teacher. And there are those who could just follow the teachings of Jesus and I think have a pretty full life if they seek to live them out in their fullness. This is the problem that some Christians have with others. You know, was it Gandhi who once said, you know, I love Jesus, but I'm not so sure about his followers? You know. Gandhi heard the words of Jesus and he took them in his own leadership of the struggle for India for liberation. And so the words of Jesus are great. But there's more to the story than that. If we really want to see Jesus, we also need, in his own words, to see him high and lifted up. And you can see that in two ways. High and lifted up on the cross. And then high and lifted up by God in resurrection and ascension. And the two go together. The two go together. Another commentator has written that through Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, and in John's gospel, you need to know that those three things go together. You can't have one without either of the other two in John's gospel. Through Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, God's relationship to the world itself is irrevocably changed. Jesus' death has this effect not because it is a sacrifice that atones for human sin. Did you hear that? But because it reveals the power and the promise of God. Because it reveals the power and the promise of God. See, I think we spend so much time worrying about atonement for our own sins that then we spend all of our time racking up those sins. People complain a lot that we don't do a confessional prayer in worship. I'm going there. The reason we don't is that you've been told for long enough how sinful creation, you know, you are. We carry that around with us like a banner. Hold on to it for all we're worth. Oh God, I'm just a sinner. No, you're not. You've been saved by God's grace and God's love. You've been saved. See, it's all in what you choose to see. It's all in what you choose to focus on. If you're going to spend all your time focusing on your sin, and you know, God bless us, we're all sinners, falling short of the glory of God. I believe that. We all are. Everybody. No exceptions. But nobody any worse than anybody else. Okay? We're all in this together. Everybody. But you've been saved by grace. By grace. It reveals the power and the promise of God and God's love decisively to the world. That's what the cross and the resurrection do. If we're going to spend all of our time hanging on to the foot of the cross, you're never going to get into the world to do anything. Do you hear me? You spend all your time groveling there at the foot of the cross, you're never going to get up and go do anything with God's love and power and grace. You're stuck right there. And if there's anything, I believe that what we can do is help to release the power of God's love and grace in the world. Amen. Yes, I believe that. I believe that to my very being. In the very middle of who I am, I believe that. Wouldn't do what I do if I didn't believe that. Simone Weil, I don't know really how to pronounce her name, somebody can tell me later, wrote this: except the seed die, and it has to die in order to liberate the energy it bears within it, so that with this energy, new forms can be developed. So we have to die in order to liberate a tied up energy, in order to possess an energy which is free and capable of understanding the true relationship of things. We have to die in order to be liberated. That's what seeds do. You know, you put them in the ground. We used to do this in grade school, remember? You know, you put a little seed in something, you know, and then over time you watch. And I love the time-lapse things you can find these days, you know. The time-lapse, you put a little seed in there and it just sits there for a while. But if it doesn't break loose, it never becomes something beautiful. See, those little seeds, when they break loose, begin to pop free, then something beautiful comes. But too many of us want to just stay in our comfort zones. You know, stay, it's nice and cozy inside that seed. You know, it's nice in there. Comfortable. Watched a video once of a bird coming loose from an egg. You know, it's another image, not just a seed in the ground, but a little tiny bird in an egg, and they struggle to break free from that shell. And so many of us are just happy to be in the shell. You know, there we are, just very happy, happy, happy. We die in there. If you stay in there too long, you die. But if you're willing to take the energy that it takes to break free, what a beautiful bird you become. Yeah? Poof, there you are. Woo, look at the world. Wow, I think I'll fly over there. Maybe over there, maybe over there. We had a memorial service here yesterday. And at the end of the service, you know, and I've been doing this for a long time. And I've done more funerals than I probably can count, you know, because I've been doing this since the early 80s, and we all know what the 80s were like for those of us who were alive then. We lost a lot of people in the 1980s. I did a lot of funerals. Yesterday I did something in a funeral for the very first time. I liked it. After the service was over, we went outside and there were these little tiny envelopes, very carefully folded. And as I gave an envelope to each person, I said, now don't squeeze it, be very careful. And we stood outside and we opened up the envelope so that inside there was this incredibly beautiful monarch butterfly. And poof, you hit the bottom of the thing and it just flew off, free. Free. Do we really want to see Jesus? Because when we do, our life changes. It can never be the same as it was before. Because Jesus helps us to break free of the seed, helps us to break free of the egg, helps us to begin to see the world in a new way that maybe we had never really quite noticed before. You see, Jesus is dangerous. He's dangerous. I'm here to tell you. And the Pharisees knew it. And the people in power knew it. Because intuitively they knew, somehow they knew, that Jesus, when let loose in the world, would change things from how they were to what they could become. And those who didn't like change did everything in their power to keep, they even killed him. That didn't work. Because 3 days later, he rose. And he rose for you and for me, so that we too could break loose of the things that keep us bound. Harriet Tubman knew it. Troy Perry knew it. And there are people who learn it new every day. So do you really want to see Jesus? Believe me, when you do, your life will change forever. And better yet, you're going to like it. Would you pray with me? God, we are so grateful that you sent your son Jesus into the world. Because where would we be without him? We thank you that he was obedient even to death on a cross. Therefore, you highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every voice would proclaim, Jesus is Lord. Help us to see Jesus with a new clarity. Help us to break free of anything that might be holding us back, so that we might be freed up to help others see Jesus too. In his name we pray. Amen. And amen.